Hello, welcome to ABW Live. How are we all? How are we doing? Gordon Bennett and it's Yvonne Okorfa has already donated £2 to us. Yvonne, thank you so much. Happy Christmas to everyone except Burnley and the ref, she says. I think a few people share those thoughts, Yvonne, but you gotta stop giving us money, Yvonne. You bonkers. Thank you very much. Really, really appreciate it. I hope you're enjoying the t-shirts. Since so a quick hello to a few people in the chat box, we'll introduce today's panel. We're a big one today. We're a massive panel today. There's two of us, so it's gonna be interesting. Gunner 93 is in the box, first in the box. Then you got MJL, J Rob, and 235100. Lord Hillwood, Gunner 73 is in there. Nikki Wilson, Marcus Hodges, Archie, Lee Beaton's in there. Hello, everyone. How are we? John's in there. There's some privacy message from Google as well. They're really annoying me, Google, are today. I do apologize, but they're doing my head in. The Colonial Cannon is there. Timmy Toby AN's there. Lee Beaton's there. Rudy Rastlos, hello, one and all. Oh, Loki 73 is there. Loki, have you had the t-shirt yet? It's been sent. Hello, one and all. I hope you're all okay. Oh God, I'm hungover. I went on beer yesterday, guys, and I just gotta be honest with you. I am struggling today. I woke up on the couch at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what the hell is going on. So apologies if this lacks quality, but that's my fault. Got a nice surprise for you. Here we have the one, the only. It's Goonaholic. Hiya, Dave. How you doing?
Evening, Jace. It's great to be on, mate. At least we're going to be talking about a win, if nothing else.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. After the last week's events, it's nice to chat about a win, and it's gonna be an interesting one. Let's get straight into it. Let's get straight into this game. Is it? What are your thoughts on the lineup, Dave? Okay, Ozil, Aubameyang, and Lacazette back on the pitch together. What were your thoughts on that?
I think it was probably I personally would approve of that, and I thought that the game bore that out. And I know you're going to disagree, but that's what we're here for, to disagree. But no, I thought the more interesting selection was further back because it looked as though we lined up with a flat back four to start with.
Yeah.
But after we'd got the goal, I thought we made some very smart choices where either Xhaka or Elneny was dropping back to make that three again, so that we had a little bit of security in the first half. We lost that a bit in the second half, and I'll leave the second half for now because it's a different topic all of its own.
Yeah.
But the selection itself, I thought, was a reasonably positive one. I was surprised to see Elneny in there, but it's I think he's earned his chance. He's played well enough in the Europa League and the Carabao Cup when he's been on. So now, all in all, given that we're down to pretty much the bare bones, I thought he did well there. I think he wanted to rest Iwobi. He rested Iwobi. Nobody else. Well, Lucas Torreira was the obvious one, but apparently he's had a cold all week. And we got him on in time to get him his booking, but he didn't get his booking. And so he's going to be treading on eggshells against Brighton in order that he doesn't miss the Liverpool game. But no, I was happy enough with the selection.
Cool. J Rob's just come in with a donation of £5, and he says, "Oh, they're a scummy bunch, aren't they?" J, here, Jace, get a Lucas aid for yourself. Come on, the Arsenal. I can't walk at the moment. Seriously, I am in pieces. Okay, I've got three layers of this. I'm still freezing. It's another hangover show, and my apologies to one and all. I really am sorry. Bob, Mr. Bobblex is talking about a single malt. Oh God, I feel sick.
It comes to something when I'm a sober one on a show.
Oh, honestly, mate, this is not good. I'm still drunk. There's everything everywhere this morning. Yeah, I just can't believe it. Yeah, no, I agree with you regarding Xhaka dropping back into that. You saw him do that quite well today. But with all the speculation around Meza recently, I was really happy to see him on the pitch because I don't think we can afford to lose him and Ramsey. And you know, in a short space of time, I think, you know, I know even though he's not picking Ramsey at the moment, and that's fine. That's his choice, and he has to be true to himself. But I think, you know, if you're looking at players who can change a game, you can't afford to lose two of them. So it was good to see him back on the pitch. Early doors, mate, we seemed to start quite brightly, and we saw some great intricate build-up play, and Joe Hart make a save from Ainsley Maitland-Niles. It was really positive start from us, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the two full-backs, stroke wing-backs, seemed to have the freedom of the flanks, and Kolasinac in particular looked back to his very best, because let's face it, he has had a few shaky games for us this season, and he's not really a conventional left back in a back four, but I thought he, given rein, was absolutely superb in the attacking half. And as you say, Maitland-Niles that got the first effort away. I thought Burnley almost nicked one, didn't they? When Barnes, we let them break on us, and Barnes, it was actually a great save by Leno. But I think the goal was coming for us. We'd had a couple more efforts after that before we saw why Ozil was in. He picked himself up on the inside right channel, slid across, spotted the runner Kolasinac. He cut it back, and it was a perfect shin in from Aubameyang. I mean, that man is just something else. I don't know how many goals that is for him now, because that was the first of his two today, but it must be getting on towards the high teens. It's just a superb player.
I mean, the one thing I'll say is, we built some pressure, as you say, okay. You know, I just thought that the build-up play to that, okay, to the goal, was just wonderful, okay. You know, yeah. You had some really, really sweet interplay. Nacho, you know, Nacho was brilliant in the way he pulls it back. But that ball from Ezra Ozil, I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal, wasn't it?
It was filthy, wasn't it? Absolutely beautiful. Yeah, it was no more than we deserved, because as well, I'm just thinking back now, it was Xhaka who had one that got Hart going at full strength, full length,
yeah,
to save. So yeah, we were worth the 1-0 lead at that point, but what happened in the aftermath of that then? I thought the game took a bit of a downturn. We started absolutely superbly, which is unusual for us. But then the first half, we kind of reverted to type. And that was when we saw the benefit of Xhaka and Elneny becoming the third defender.
Well, you know, this is the thing. We worked hard. We'd really, you know, we put them under a bit of pressure. But as you say, all too often then, it falls off. And one of the things, you know, you saw the hard save from Xhaka was preceded by Elneny losing the ball to Cork. And some of the defending was like Keystone Cops defending, wasn't it? You know, that's a real issue for us at the moment, isn't it?
I think it got worse in the second half. I wasn't too concerned in the first half, but yeah, second half. Are we ready to go on to that, or are we too ahead of ourselves?
Don't get ahead of ourselves now. after the goal, you know, it's great to put them down 1-0, but we didn't seem as though, you know, we were dominating the game. You had me and Ozil coming together. There was some shoddy defending again, hard save from AMN. You had Kolasinac's challenge on Cork in the box, okay. Kolasinac made up about 5 yards on Cork in a 10-yard space, and really, you know, muscled him off the ball. That was really good to see from Kolasinac, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it lifted the crowd. You heard it almost got as big a cheer as the goal. And fair play, Mr. Friend, allowing it to go. We'll come on to him later, I'm sure. But that was a good decision. Actually, I thought he had a good first half, because you know me, I am the enemy of referees. But it all started coming on top for him with about 10 minutes of the half remaining. when you had the coming together, or the first coming together, of Barnes and Socrates, when Barnes held on to him and pinned him down, and a little bit of handbags ensued. And
Let's just talk about that for a second. We've had another donation. MJL says happy holidays. And I'm not sure what denomination that is or what currency that is, but MJL, thank you ever so much, mate. That's really, really kind of you. You know, you're always there supporting us, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much, mate. Much appreciated. The tussle, it's quite clear that Barnes has got him in a headlock. Okay, he's not letting go, isn't he? He's not letting go. And this is the this is the thing that kind of gets me, is that Socrates isn't trying to get away from it, is he? He's thinking, do you know what? I'm going to play on this. And that was good to see from Socrates. You know, he's making the movement. He's showing the referee exactly what's happening. And, you know, there's a lot of handbags with it. Barnes has always been a dirty git, hasn't he? You know, let's be honest. He's that type of player. But the referee books him, and rightly so. You know, I thought that might settle it down a bit, but no, it doesn't, does it?
No, it most certainly didn't. And Socrates was, shall we say, he looked to enjoy his moment of revenge when he pulled him down, when he got caught the wrong side of him, and rather cleverly, I thought, got in his face and was hoping to provoke a reaction. Now, what would have happened had he got that reaction is hard to say. It should have been a yellow card each and Barnes off. But I wonder if, under those circumstances, Mr. Friend might have felt compelled to send them both off. So it was a little bit of risky, and it seemed to incite a mood that was to go on throughout the rest of the match. It got more difficult for Mr. Friend to control, I thought.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the Socrates challenge on him when he dragged him down, you know, I'm not Socrates' biggest fan. Let's be clear, okay? And I think he was the wrong signing for us. I still think that I'm not going to change my mind on it. But I do like about him that the fact that he's got a bit about him, isn't he? He's ready. He wants a piece of the action at times when he can get in there. And he did try to bait Barnes, which was really, really nice to see, because Barnes is one of those players that will bait anybody around him. He had a taste of his own medicine.
Absolutely agree with that. I'm 100%, mate. And it wasn't only Socrates, of course. Kolasinac was getting there every flashpoint. Xhaka was getting there at every flashpoint. It seems as though you've got a bunch of guys who want to be there for each other when it gets physical. And we haven't had that for a while, or not to that degree. So that too, I think, got the crowd going again. And although it was a lively end to the half, you know, that middle bit had been, it kind of brought the game back and gave the crowd something to cheer or boo or whatever it was they wanted to do.
It was a bit pantomime, wasn't it? Unfortunately, in between that, we had Nacho go off injured and Lichtsteiner come on. I mean, that is, you know, that's quite worrying, isn't it? You know, another one dropping down. We can't afford, you know, we're going to have to steady this defence. We're going to have to go and get somebody in the January window, because I can't see us surviving unless we do. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's a fair point. I think when you're reduced to bringing on Lichtsteiner, he obviously has to play on the right-hand side of the pair, which meant that Socrates got pushed to the left, which he looks less comfortable in. And I thought from that point on, the defence, maybe not at the end of the first half, because Burnley didn't really look as though they were going to produce much in the way of attacking play. In fact, the closest they came to scoring was Xhaka's backheader that nearly went over the top of Lino, but he managed to grab it in time. But it was, no, I thought defensively, when we go into the second half, we definitely looked worse for Nacho going off. I don't know what the injury was, by the way, but I hope it's not another long layoff for him, because he's had a little bit of bad luck this year already, hasn't he?
He has. And the thing is, you know, you look at Nacho, he does give, what he gives us is good, solid interplay. You know, he gives us a bit of defensive solidity as well. But going forward, that interplay, his quality on the ball, we haven't got many players with as much quality, have we?
No, that's true, and certainly not in those positions. But he's a quality guy because he's also better than the air than you think. And he reminds me a lot of when we used to play with Bakary Sana at right back, and he would be the first out ball they would look for because he would generally win the header on the halfway line. Nacho does pretty much the same thing. And so he looks more settled when he is forced to play as a central defender. But we do lose it a little bit because he's also an exceptionally good left back or left wing back as well. I hope he's not out for long.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. We've had another donation. Mike Hernandez. Michael Hernandez, thank you very much. He's put $1.99 in to annoy Danny. I love that. I love it when people do that. It's brilliant. Excellent. He also asked the question, and I think we'll answer that straight away, okay? He says, Pepe, ex-Madrid, current Besiktas, available for free. Yeah, Besiktas have cancelled his contract. I'm no fan of Pepe, I've got to be honest with you. I think, you know, he is a lunatic, that boy is. And I think he'd be baited in the Premier League, and he'd spend more time sent off than he would on the pitch. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely agree. He's a red card waiting to happen, isn't he? He was an excellent player at one point, but I think those days are probably behind him now. So not for me, but good question.
Yeah, he's of an age, isn't he? You know, and it's a bit of a problem. It's a bit of a problem. Oh, God, you know what, guys? I do apologise. I'm trying to keep myself together here, okay? But if this isn't the smoothest podcast ever, my apologies. I've got no excuses. I got absolutely smashed yesterday. My mind is just wondering. I don't know what's going on. Laka overran an effort and long cleared from him. You know, there were a few chances in the game that in that first half that we weren't clinical on, were we? You know, it was difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what was interesting as well, the fact that it was Aubameyang who was mainly in the centre, yeah, and Lacazette was working both flanks, and normally you would expect it to be the other way around. I actually thought it looked a little bit better than that, and I know you don't rate Lacazette on the flanks, but I thought it looked a little bit more of a settled way of those two combining. I still like the fact that you can have one coming in from the left, one coming in from the right. But it looked as though Lacazette had the responsibility to go whichever flank we were attacking on. And Aubameyang, all right, two goals weren't down to just being the middle man, because I think he would have got them cutting in from the left anyway. But I thought he benefited from being that central man, and Lacazette looked a lot better than you think he is out wide.
I'm not, how can I put this? I'm not against him being outside. I just think he brings us so much in the centre. You know, I look at Lacazette and I think the way he brings other players into the game is magnificent. Okay? I think he's magic at that. But I like Aubameyang's pace coming in from a wide area, you know. But it's very difficult because we've struggled to sort of, you know, get these guys involved in the game more, haven't we? Yeah, that's the big problem. It's an issue of getting them on the ball and getting them into the game. You know, we've seen what's Mkhitaryan dropped? We've seen Iwobi dropped. I think, you know, it's a difficult situation for a lot of these guys because everybody's struggling in that area to really affect the game well. I look at Mezet's first half performance. That ball for Nacho. Oh my God, it was a thing of beauty. Do you know what I mean? To Kolasinac, sorry, yes. there you go. See, guys, I'm still drunk. It was magnificent from him, okay? And we want to see that from him, but all too often, he can't get into the game or we can't seem to get him into the game. And you know, it's something that Emery has to solve, because he can blow as much money as he wants in the, well, we can, as a club, we can blow as much money as we want in the transfer window. If we can't get whoever we bring in onto the ball more and get them in good positions, you know, and get runners coming off them, it's going to be ineffective. You know, that's my kind of thought process on it. But I don't disagree with what you're saying on Lacazette being right. If you look at the Tottenham game, when Rambo came through centrally and they would split to create the space, they did that excellently that day, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. We tactically at the moment, we're struggling to fit all of the creative players we've got in. And I thought today was quite interesting. We couldn't play Mkhitaryan because he was injured. I think Iwobi was due the rest. Is Rambo injured or was he rested today? I'm not sure.
Just not selected, mate. I think, you know, I just think that's the way it is now. That's how it goes.
Yeah, and you can't combine them all. And I don't think there are certain pairings there that don't work for us. I'm not a lover of Mkhitaryan one side and Iwobi the other. I don't think we can play Ozil and Rambo in the same side, and certainly not if we go with a back three. I think we haven't really decided whether we're going to be a back three or a back four team going forward, but I like the fact that we have that flexibility, and so we're able to keep teams guessing and flexibility, as we saw today, within matches to change it. So I'll say today was a plus, and they found a way to make it work.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, okay, I disagree with you on not being able to play certain players together. I just think that's down to the setup. You bring a different setup, and you can play those players together. But Emery has to be true to himself. He's the manager, you know. He's got his philosophy. And I think it's right and proper the way he's doing it at the moment. You know, it's going to be really interesting. You know, it's going to be really interesting, it is. But that's the kind of first half over. And Dave, for the first time this season, we take a lead into half time. Wow.
You sound like a BT, Sky Sports commentator. They mention it every single week, don't they? And it was beginning to get on my nerves. So I'm glad at last we've done it. We won't hear that on against Brighton in the week. So
I know they'll just say they've only once taken a lead into half time instead. But I do think it is an important point, okay? Because we've given ourselves a mountain to climb, or a tougher task in the second half, if you know what I mean. And it has started to become an issue, you know. Of not leading at half time and not you know, giving ourselves the best platform to move on from.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And it worked for us for a while because we were playing so well after the break, and it looked as though it was almost a tactic that we were doing in order to draw the sting out of teams in the first half. But we've seen over the last week at Southampton against Tottenham that you can't do that week in, week out, match in, match out. So, yeah, like you, I was pleased to see it today, but more for the reason that they will stop talking about it because it was doing my nuts in.
it was becoming a bit pointless, wasn't it? It really was becoming a bit pointless. It was beginning to annoy me. We've had another donation. The Gooners podcast, Mike and Andy... I think it's Mike on there today, for the sounds of it. It's donated $2.99 to annoy Danny, and I love it. Mike, I'm going to ask a question in the questions section, okay? I hope you don't mind, but I'll just pop that to the questions section, okay? It's going to be... I like that question. You're a git. You're an absolute git. Oh, God help us. Do you know what?
Can I just say to people that I'm sorry if I'm not acknowledging anybody in the chat box, but I've just realised I'm working on my little netbook today and I can't actually read the bloody chat box. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for all your donations, and thank you for all your kind words, if there are any. And if you're giving me a load of stick, I deserve it.
Yeah, look, I'm not being funny, okay? I'm drunk, he can't read, God help us, okay? What's going on here? That's the first half done with, guys. And there's 124 of you watching this right now. And I got 29 likes. That is absolutely pathetic. Don't come in here enjoying this free content and having a laugh with your mates in the chat box if you're not going to tap that like button. Get on with it. Tappy, tappy. Let's get going. Be like the Arsenal. Be winners. Stop selling yourselves short and stop embarrassing your club. Come on, get with it. And Alex Smith, you're absolutely right. I am riding the struggle bus. I really am.
You're in good company.
Oh, Jesus. You know, yesterday I thought, this if it wasn't for Dave today, okay, this is just going to be me. So you all need to give Dave some love. Because if this is just me producing content today, it would be truly pathetic. It really would. There's only 33 likes. Come on, get on with it. Sort your lives out. Stop being lunatics. Get on with it and get on with it now. Tappy, tappy. Let's get going. Bloody 33 likes. That's pretty shameful. If your mums and dads could see you now, they'd be embarrassed by you. Absolutely embarrassed by you. Oh, pathetic.
Loving the Welsh justice.
Oh, mate. You know, I'm still drunk again. Mr. Boblex, it was a good night, yeah. It was a good night, but it kind of fell apart towards the end. I don't know what went on. I really don't. Dave, in the second half, you had the Leno and Wood challenge. Wood picks up a yellow card. I think Friend got that right, because I don't think Wood can pull out of it, but he's made no contact with the ball and he's taken Leno out, and it could have been quite dangerous, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I think I wrote in my write-up that he booked him for dangerous play. So yeah, regardless of intent, it was the correct decision. And it was one of the few he was to get right as the second half went on. So if you are one of those people who doesn't like me ranting against referees, I only do it when we've won. I think when we lose, it doesn't look so clever. But when we've won a game and what we're about to go over happens, I think they're fair game.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Geoffrey O'Hara, I have been a Tredegar. I didn't stop. Oh, goodness, 73's got a hell of a question in there. That's going in later. I like that a lot. But that's quickly followed by the Aubameyang goal, Dave. And a great counter-attack, wasn't it? I really enjoyed the second goal.
Well, it was that Kolasinac again, wasn't it? Put a storm down the left, played it in. Lacazette got hold of it, and he was only ever going to look to find Aubameyang. And that finish, all right, the deflection is probably what took it past Hart at his near post. But he absolutely fizzed that one, didn't he? It was a superb strike. It's one of the circumstances in which you can forgive a goalkeeper being beat at his near post. But give the credit to Aubameyang for the finish. Don't give any grief to the goalkeeper in those circumstances.
I absolutely agree. I thought, you know, Collar down the side, down the flank today was absolutely superb. You know, he was, you know, he had real intention about him. You know, he drove us forward. He was brilliant and he deserves applause. For me, he was the man of the match today. He really was. But the Aubameyang finish, I mean, before Hart can get his hands up, the ball's in the back of the net.
Yeah,
it was in the back of the net. It was absolutely, it was a banger, you know. And it's nice to see him. You know, we've had a tough week. We've had a tough week. I think, so, you know, our lack of finishing on Wednesday night was embarrassing. You know, we cost ourselves the game against Tottenham by just not finishing our dinner, so to speak. And today we were finishing, which was good to see. I know we had a few chances that we should have done better, but, you know, it's a case of you've got to look at the positives, and that was a great goal. This is followed up now by our friend Ashley Barnes again. The knee in the back on Guendouzi. How is he still on the pitch? How is he still on the pitch?
Not a clue. And it also looked, and it wasn't mentioned, and Alan Smith was making excuses for him, which I was kind of surprised about. But it looked as though he also grabbed Guendouzi's hair as they were going down. And so it made it even more of a nonsensical non-decision by Kevin Friend, because when you saw the angle that Kevin Friend had, he had a perfectly clear vision of that, and how on earth he didn't produce a second card for that, I do not know. But that was just the first of many where he started. Like I say, I thought he had a good first half, but the second half, I thought he lost control of the game and he didn't manage it very well at all. But we'll come on to incident after incident after incident.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely bottled that. I absolutely bottled it. And I didn't notice the pulling the hair. But you find a lot with Alan Smith. I'm sorry, you get, I like Alan Smith as a commentator, but
he's a great guy.
But at times, he makes excuses for some poor excuses for certain players at times. And it's this it's this side of it. There has to be a second yellow. He has to go off the pitch. But how he stays on the pitch, I don't know. It was ludicrous. It was unique 73. Okay, I'm going to ask you that question a bit later because I think that's a really, really good point from you, Dave. And again, Socrates makes me smile, which I didn't think would happen this season. There was a brilliant challenge from on Wood from the set piece, wasn't there? It was absolutely fantastic.
And again, another almost awful mistake or game-changing mistake by the officials, because you saw on the replay there were clearly four Burnley players offside when that free kick was swung in. And I didn't see where Socrates came from. All you could see was these four Burnley players in the clear, four on one with Leno. And all of a sudden, like you say, Socrates came from nowhere. And that is an absolutely perfectly timed challenge. And it had to be, because they missed the offside. If he takes the man, it's a penalty. It was astonishing that I couldn't believe they were given the corner after that. I thought once the incident was over, the flag would have gone up once the ball was near the four of them. But no, just completely missed and so blatantly obvious.
I got to be honest, I thought our setup at that set piece was really poor. I don't think we knew what we were doing as a team. I think that played into the officials' minds.
You saw Socrates when he'd made the clearance. The first thing he did was he got in Granit Xhaka's face, because I think Xhaka was trying to pull people out while Socrates was trying to hold the line. Well, that's what it looked like anyway. But whatever it was, he put the fear of God into him, I'm sure. I wouldn't want him shouting at me.
I got to be honest here. I do like that side about them. I do like that side about him. But again, this is the issue I have there now. Who is actually marshalling this defence? Because if you're asking Xhaka to marshal the defence, God help us, okay? Because he is not. He's not a centre-back. He's not a centre-back. That should be Socrates' remit, and they should be listening to him. But it was embarrassing to see us defend the way we defended from that. Thankfully, Socrates does make... it's a worldly challenge, in my opinion. I think it's... absolutely brilliant, and he deserves full credit for that, because that did save us the goal, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, fair play to him. I thought he was outstanding most of today, but around him there was an awful lot of panic and hysteria, if you like. Lichtsteiner doesn't inspire, although he's another good man to have out there when it gets physical. As a central defender, he looks a little short on pace, to say the least.
Look, we haven't got an ounce of pace in that back in that back line now. We haven't.
Socrates is surprisingly quick. No, if you have not. A good look at
him. No, he's not.
I'll go in there.
No, he's not.
Go and have
he's
a drink.
Not. Dave, stop it. I'm the one who's drunk. Stop embarrassing yourself. He is not quick, okay? I'm sorry, people can put up tweets from Aubameyang and all this stuff, okay, Redo, but he is not quick, okay? You saw moments in that game where they, Burnley, I want to call him Barnsley to show them absolutely zero respect, okay? Because they don't deserve any respect. I really hope this Burnley team go down, I really do, okay? But you saw them counter, And my God, you know, East, by the time they get Burnley going to shot away, Socrates is still in their half. You know, he's not quick, okay? But to be fair, with what he's got, he's done well for us. He's far exceeded what I thought he would do for us this season. I'm happy to say, you know, that I was wrong in that respect. Okay, I was wrong in that respect, that he's performed way above my expectations. Okay, he's way above my expectations. I don't think it's a good signing at all. I've got to be honest. I thought we needed to go out and spend a bit more money on play and get a better centre back in. But for what he is, he can't affect that. And what he has done today was great for him. So I, you know, all credit to the guy. I think he's done, you know, he did well today. But, you know, it's like with Xhaka, you can't change their physical makeup, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't. So, you know, that's the way they are. The next thing that happened, Dave, the Guendouzi dive, and he did dive. Barnes was behind him. Guendouzi does dive to try to buy a free kick. But then Barnes puts his boot on him. Okay, now it wasn't sort of in a violent way, but you just can't do that. And again, the referee this time gives Burnley the free kick, which is ridiculous. Okay, and again, no action towards Barnes, even though he can see him put his boot on his chest.
I think you summed it up pretty well. It was, I agree. He went down a little easily. And that was the reason that Burnley got the free kick. But yes, they're putting the boot on him. Once again, you saw it clearly from the referee's angle that he had perfect vision of it and chose not even to say a word to him about it. And it was to prove to be possibly a game changer, because guess who then goes on to eventually bring him back into the game?
We'll come to that goal in a bit, okay, but... Mm-hmm. You know, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing from Kevin Friend. It was embarrassing. It was shameful, referee, and I thought. And I don't want to make this about the referee, but you can't do that. You just can't do stuff like that. And to be allowed to get away with it was shameful. Really was.
Well, that kind of is my point of view, Jace. What I'm saying is that I've written about it as well. I don't blame Burnley for pushing the limits, because they're not going to beat an Arsenal or a top four side if they're not putting them off their game. I thought their sole intention in the second half was to disrupt the flow of the game. They did it superbly because they were allowed to. And they were allowed to by the man who is supposed to manage the game and stop them from doing it. But I don't blame them for doing it at all, even though it gets very frustrating and you feel yourself getting mad at Barnes and Wood for everything that was going on.
Yeah.
But you should have been. But eventually, I was absolutely losing it with Friend, because he didn't control that second half for one moment.
It just spoils the game, and I got to be honest. I don't mind. You know, everybody who listens to this knows I like a bit of the dark arts. Okay, I do. Right? But some of the challenges that went in there were wrong ends. Okay, you don't do that to people. Okay, you just don't. And, you know, it's this thing. I see it going back to, you know, going back to the Wenger days, okay, where all of a sudden, you know, we had three broken legs, okay? And that's, you know, that to me, you know, Eduardo had his career ruined. Diaby had his career ruined. You know, Rambo, he's lucky he recovered from it, and it's still affecting his career. And, you know, the press and referees allow teams to do this to us. And it's just disgusting, it is. Elneny then is replaced by Torreira. I'm always going to call him Torreira, by the way, listeners. That's the way it is now. That's the way it is. And you then see a counter from us, which ended up with two yellow cards for Barnsley. I'm going to call him Barnsley.
You little tyke.
Dirty northerners. Cork on Guendouzi. I thought he's lucky to get a yellow. And then me on Auba. That was a yellow all day long, but it kind of summed them up, isn't it? The only way they could stop us was by kicking us, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the number of times that it was Guendouzi who was the target was absolutely mystifying to me, because it was as if they were trying to goad him into a reaction. And he, one of the good things about him being so such a young lad is that you would expect him to react, but he's absolutely got control of his emotions all the time. I think we've got ourselves quite a little player there, but that's another topic altogether.
But
by Cork, I agree, it warranted perhaps more than a yellow.
I like Guendouzi, okay? I think recently he's been poor, but I like him. I like his skill set. I like his attitude to the game, okay? And, you know, he's 19. He's in a learning process. He's going to have good times and bad times. He always gives 100% effort, but I really like his attitude, the way he moans to a referee. He's got that Gaelic flair, and why me, you know? And, Unique79 is just putting their strong coffee, Jay, strong coffee. Oh, mate, I can't even face turning the kettle on. I like the way he conducts himself, you know? He took an awful lot of stick today, and he came out of it with his head held high, because he didn't bite. He didn't bite for these scumbags. He did well for himself. So, you know, all credit to Guendouzi. I think he deserves a lot of plaudits for that.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have wanted to be there when he took his boots and his socks off afterwards, because he's going to have one hell of a black ankle.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you now. I feel for these guys at times. And it is this thing of defending our players, you know. It is, you know, we have to defend them more. But, let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. Ashley Barnes, how he's on the pitch, I don't know. But then he scores. Talk me through it, Dave, because I'm absolutely embarrassed by our defending here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key point to make. I don't know how many times we had an opportunity to launch that ball out of danger, but the last one was when Lucas Torreira took a swing at it. Xhaka was struggling to get out of his way because he was in his pocket. The ball bounced off, I think it was Cork, to the far post, and Barnes is unmarked at the far post. How can he be unmarked when you've got so many players in the box? And he just slammed it past Leno. And at the near post, it's a little bit of a concern. But again, he did give it a good thump, as Aubameyang had done before him. And the fact that he was on the pitch was more annoying than the fact that he'd got what we assumed to be was a consolation goal. But we had some shaky moments after that, because that had injected a huge doubt into the minds of those lads at the back, who for a while there, we were left hanging on, and we were the team that took over the mantle of trying to kill the game and waste a little bit of time, which was good to see the game management, I suppose, but a worry that we were put into such a flap by a team like Burnley.
And it is a concern, okay, you know, the performance against Huddersfield was awful, okay, the performance against Southampton was an embarrassment, and these are not good teams, okay.
But the good thing today was that we did eventually grind it out, and that's great. You do have to grind some games out. You can't go and play like world beaters week in, week out. Not even Manchester City do that week in, week out, and we're nowhere near their class quite yet. But yeah, it was good. After those two defeats, it was very important that we got the 3 points today, more important than the manner of the performance. So to grind one out was very pleasing in the end.
I agree and I disagree in the same breath in this one, okay, Dave? Because I think until we start getting our performances right, okay, then we're not going to kick on, if you know what I mean. And we have shown real grit this season in grinding our performances. I absolutely agree with that. And you know, I think it's been a great credit to Unai and the squad and the way they've gone about doing that. Okay, but sooner or later we have to put some. We have to put in good performances. We have to back them up. You know, the performance against Tottenham was in the league game was absolutely magnificent. I don't think we were awful Wednesday night. I just, you know, it's finishing Tiguna 73. You behave. I like to grind one out as well, he puts in.
What do you say? What do you say?
I like to grind one out as well. I'm not sure what he's on about there, but stay away.
I think you do.
Yeah, I do. But you know, Uno's been here 6 months now, or whatever it is. It's come to 6 months. I expect to see an improvement in performance, which we're not seeing on a regular basis. We've seen the Liverpool performance, the Tottenham performance was superb. In the league game, Leicester City for 60 minutes was superb. Okay. And so we showed some flashes of brilliance today, I thought. But, you know, we've got to start going down that road of improving week on week. And I don't think we're at that moment yet. And yes, the defensive issues and injuries have had an effect. And there's no doubt about that. But we have to be able to cope with it. We do.
I love the ambition that he has to improve week on week. But the reality of the situation is that nobody does week on week consistently. Manchester City play well most of the time, but next week they could be the absolute pits. So you know that they will not improve week on week. We won't improve week on week. But I do love the ambition. Where I think we are making progress is, you see, days like today where they do grind out the win, possibly last year it might have been a draw. I hate that saying, but you know where I'm coming from. We haven't, other than Southampton, we haven't lost to anybody you wouldn't have expected us to lose to. So Southampton was a problem. This week wasn't. We've improved this week, but we could go to Brighton in the week and stink the place out. It's, you know, that's how football fluctuates. But yeah, absolutely admire the ambition, and I hope we do start to show a greater level of consistency. Because as you say, the big games, Liverpool, Tottenham, we produced it before. Leicester, you're right. And Fulham away, well, everybody's tanking them at the moment, but you can only beat what's put in front of you. I thought that was a superb performance. But yeah, let's hope we can produce another run starting today.
Absolutely. We saw more poor defending, Jack Hawk miss, and then it will be replaced Lacazette. Lacazette was not a happy bunny, was he?
No, he didn't look it, and it's not a surprise. I've seen him taken off before, and he never looks as though he enjoys it. So that's a good thing as well as a bad thing. I thought what was good was the encouragement he was given by Unai Emery when he came off, and the fact that the crowd pretty much as one gave him a standing ovation. Enjoyed that immensely. I thought he deserved it. He worked very hard today, but just never really was in the right place at the right time. But that was because he was given the job out wide, and I thought he did, as we've already been over, I thought he did it very well. You there, mate?
Yeah, frustration. I thought he deserved to get hooked, but, you know, he did, and well, we'll come on to that in a bit.
I'll tell you at this point, though, mate. At this point, that was a point at which I thought, you know what, I'm not happy that this is going to finish 2-1, and that was my bet today. So I actually took the £80 rather than hang on for the 200. Thank you, Alex Iwobi. You made me the genius of the day.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. The game, it turned boring. It really did. I mean, some of it was painful watching. You know, our defending was Keystone Cops as usual. But Kolasinac going forward, he drove forward and he smashes across the face of the goal. And no, there's nobody there to finish it off, which is really annoying. But that kind of summed up Kolasinac today, didn't it? He was absolutely superb, I thought.
I was not surprised he was named the man of the match either, because he did have probably the most influence, marginally above Ozil. Ozil, people will say, disappeared in the middle of the second half a little bit when it got physical. I'd accept that, but really the ball wasn't heading his way that much by that point. Generally, we were on the back foot or just standing around waiting for the next free kick to take place. But,
yeah, I mean, we got done in the middle of the park, didn't we? We didn't win the middle of the park at that point, did we? No. So it's if you're not going to get the ball up to Mesut, it's very difficult for him. I've got no problem with slamming Mesut Ozil, okay? You know, if you want to be a star man at any club, you have to perform week in, week out. I thought he was decent today. I thought he was really decent today. I got no complaints about him at all today. But you know, if we're not going to get the ball to him, we can't mourn too much, you know. And we weren't doing it at that point, were we? You know, which was really frustrating.
Yeah, that was exactly my point, mate. And it was what Burnley did well in terms of the dark arts, in terms of stopping our rhythm, stopping our flow. The game was stop start.
Yeah.
Friend never got a clue what was going on around him. It didn't seem, and so he let it go on. I think it was Wood, who'd already been booked, who then made yet another challenge on Guendouzi again and left him in a heap. And Friend chose not to award the second yellow card for him. And I thought...
I kind of agreed with that, because I do think Wood pulled out. I think I was listening to an American stream, or watching the American stream, and Matthew Upson was commentating, and he made the point, look, he's tried to pull out there, you know, which I think... I'm not unhappy that he didn't get another yellow card there, simply because, you know, if he'd have followed through, it's got to be a yellow, yeah? Hmm. You know, it's no extra bets.
But the important point about that was that Sean Dyche realised, I think it finally sunk in, that he had to get those two off the pitch a bit smartish. And so he took them off, sent on Vidra and Vokes. And I think gave them license to carry on where the other two had left off, because they were starting with a clean sheet. And they certainly put themselves about a bit again. But fair play. I thought we stood up to them pretty well. And we were not entirely innocent. Socrates appeared to whack an elbow into the back of someone as he was challenging for a high ball.
Yeah.
Torreira left possibly a boot in. We needed him to get booked today. And I think that was what he was trying to do. But Mr. Friend was not going to oblige him. So he's going to be...
We can bench him at Brighton, though, can't we? You know, we don't need to play him against Brighton, do we?
No,
you know,
we shouldn't need to play him against Brighton.
Yeah.
We'll judge afterwards.
Absolutely. We've got a guy in the chat box called Dead Wrong. And he's a Man United fan. And he's giving it glory, Man United. Hey, how's Jose working out here? How's Jose working out for you, fella?
How's Alexis working out?
Come back here, 700 grand a week, Alexis Sanchez. You must be chuffed, fella. You must be chuffed. You know, checkbook Charlie's up north. You can't get it right at all, can you? Welcome to the chat box, Dead Wrong. Welcome to the chat box. If you have fun with the guys, they'll have fun with you, okay? But
I'm sorry, I can't read it.
I hope he's having fun in there. I hope he's having fun. And then we come on to the icing on the cake, the Alex Iwobi goal. You know, Iwobi started off driving from deep, lays it off to Mesut. Mesut with some magical footwork in the box. It was really good to see. I'm not sure if it was a pass or a shot. I'm not gonna make a comment on whether I'm trying to decide it, but the ball comes to Iwobi and he makes no mistake about it.
I was just going to say, it was a lovely little chip by him. It was a good finish. I was pleased for him. I thought it was right that he was left out today, but I'm glad that he came on and got a goal. I'm particularly glad he got the goal that made it 3-1 and meant I was better off than I would have been. Mesut, like you say, I'm sure that was a pass. I don't think that was an attempt on goal. I was surprised he didn't get an attempt away on goal earlier when he beat the first defender, but he wanted to take them all on, it seemed. And superb finish. And at last we could breathe a sigh of relief because there's no way they were coming back from 3-1.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing for me was it was the ambition that Iwobi drove forward with. Okay, the fact he was direct, the fact that he showed a real. The one criticism I always have of Alex Iwobi is no end product, and so it's really good to see him, you know, getting on the score sheet and playing with ambition. Yeah. And that's what we need. We need that ambition in this team, okay? That's why, I love Aaron Ramsey so much. He plays with ambition. But, that ambition combined with some end product today was magic to see. And people said, okay, we got lucky. But you make your own luck, don't you?
Yeah, the good thing about him getting a goal today is that you feel that he's a confidence player. There's no doubt there's a footballer in him. He has shown both for Arsenal and for Nigeria, he has got some big games in him. And the way that we used him last season, for example, at Chelsea instead of Ozil, he improved the team no end. But he's got to produce that consistently. And there are times where things don't go his way in a game and his head drops and his body language isn't right. But when you get the Iwobi who came on today, when you get the Iwobi who shone at Chelsea last year, and we've seen it many, many times, we have got a footballer who is, he's still young and he's still developing. It's frightening how good he could be. I really believe that about him.
I see the potential, Dave, okay? But my big concern is the attitude. Like you say, when he allows his head to drop, when he allows his head to drop, that really, really frustrates me. Because I think
he might grow out of that, Jace, because we've got to remember he's, what, 20, 21?
Oh, no. Sure. I think he has to grow out of it. I genuinely think he has to grow out of it. Okay? And I want to see this boy succeed. Okay, I think he's got magic feet. Okay, but all too often he flatters to deceive. And I think some of the performances this season have been overhyped from him. Okay, I think some have been overhyped. And I think a lot of it is too harsh on him as well. There's no halfway house with this kid. And it would make me really happy to see him thrive in this Arsenal team and to do well. But he has to get his decision-making right and he has to keep his head up. He has to. He cannot allow his head to drop. He needs to show his fighting spirit, so to speak, yeah? But, it was a great goal and I thought the guys earned their own luck and they made it happen, which was fantastic to watch. It really was. So that was the game, Dave. 3-1. Happy overall? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely happy. As I said earlier, to grind one out when we needed the 3 points, that was the most important part of the day. To get those 3 points, to start off hopefully on another run. Generally, the mood is up. But midway through the second half, I probably wasn't as positive. You'll be surprised to hear that from me, I suppose.
I am a bit.
I was struggling with the game a wee bit at the middle point in the second half.
Well, mate, to be fair, you weren't alone in struggling with that game. My God, it was painful to watch at times. Let's go to some questions then. Chat box is... Dave can't read the chat box, okay? So at the moment, I've got to go into... into our Google Hangouts to read the question. So if I miss anything from you, I'll try to catch up with it, but my apologies. Bearing in mind, I'm still drunk. This is... I think I'm doing okay. I've got to be honest. I'm quite chuffed at myself at the moment. So here we go. Questions. Junior Gunner asks, would you replace Iwobi with Zaha? What are your thoughts?
Sorry, I missed the end of that. Would I swap Iwobi for who?
With Zaha.
Oh, Zaha. What a question that is. That's a good one. I think I'd be tempted on the basis that Zaha has more of an end performance at the moment, but he's further developed. He's further down the line than Iwobi is. And I think the fact that Zaha has already failed at one big club means he might be in the right place for himself now. On the whole, I'll back the potential that Iwobi has over what Zaha would bring to the table at the moment. But good question.
I gotta be honest, I like Zaha's pace. I like him as a player. I think he makes things happen. I think Iwobi does as well, but I just think I probably would. I probably would. But that's been really harsh, Alex Iwobi. That's been really, really harsh. I think he's got a lot of potential. He needs to find consistency, though. But there you go. Michael Laguna's podcast asks, and this is from his donation, what's the bigger waste of money? Buying Jace a Gary Mabbott jersey, buying Horlick a beer that's not Guinness, or Carl Jenkinson's wage packet?
Hello, Mike. I think you know the answer to that one. I think you know how long a Gary Mabbott shirt would last in Jason's hands. I can see it in my mind's eye. That thing's going to end up in flames.
Flames?
Flames.
I wiped my backside with it first. I got to be honest, he was on the radio this week talking about the Dele Alli bottle incident. I don't condone anybody throwing a bottle at any players. I don't like it, okay? You know, and when you look at Spurs, you look at the coin throwing at Theo Walcott. You look at the banana throwing at Aubameyang this season, okay? You know, there's a lot they're mob are guilty of. You threw the bottle, well, you're a prick. You know, don't do it. Don't be stupid. You're just giving them an excuse to have a go at us. But Mabbott comes out with this line, he could have blinded Dele Alli. On my life, Dave, okay, right on. What a cock womble Gary Mabbott is. He's a pillar of epic proportions, and I wish him nothing good in life. Can't stop.
By the way, I also agree with your rant about the bloke who threw the bottle. We have to accept there are some bad apples in every barrel, just not in the barrels that we don't like.
Do you know what? I can see it happening as an act of lunacy from somebody. I've had enough, you know. Somebody doing something stupid. I don't know this guy. I don't know if he's a good guy or a wrong, and I have no idea, you know. But he just let himself down in the moment, you know, and to give them the excuse and to give that scumbag the excuse to sort of play on it and what have you. That hurts me. That does, because I just. You know that with that mob, they're going to play up to it. They're going to, you know, they'll keep on mentioning that. You know, they won't mention the Theo Walcott incident. They won't mention the banana going on, which, you know, it was deemed as a missile, wasn't it? And not as an act of racism, which is disgusting. You know, it really frustrates me. Let's move on. Bruno73 asks, what's the bigger crime? No tappy-tappy or the Arsenal defending? And while we're mentioning tappy-tappy, 52 likes. 52 likes. Are you lot taking the piss? Are you taking the piss out of us right now? I'm still drunk. Dave can't read the chat box. We rock up. Everybody else is off on a jolly. No, they don't care about you, but we do. We care enough about you to rock up here. It's Christmas week and we're still doing it, okay? So get it in that like button now. Tappy tappy, you cheeky monkeys. Get on with it. Over to you, Dave. I would defend it.
Where are you going to be in half an hour? Where are you going to be in half an hour, Jace? I know where I'm going to be in half an hour. I'm going to do something about that. I've got a diabolical thirst on me. Right. I forgot what the question was now.
What do you think about defending?
Oh, yeah, defending. It's comic book, isn't it? Absolutely comic book. But there's a reason for it. We have very few fit defenders. You know, you can't manage a situation like that until January. And then something has to be done. We have to bring in a little bit more quality if we can.
I'd be happy with us bringing in a couple of loans to give us coverage. Yeah. And then look at it afresh in the summer. Do you know what I mean? But I don't think our defending's been good this season at all, to be fair. I don't think it has. We've got to start taking responsibility for our defending, in my eyes. And I don't think Unai and Casido have yet. And they need to pull their fingers out of this. Because otherwise,
I find worrying about it, though, mate, is that if we are not going to give chances to defenders like Zach Medley in this instance, if you're not going to play centre-halves at centre-half, then are we worried that we are not bringing through young players in a key area? It's a question that just thrown out there in the air, because I would have thought this was an ideal opportunity to find out if the lad has what it takes. Presumably they've taken a view beforehand that it's a bit early for him.
Yeah,
I think the crowd will give time to a young player to develop rather than they will a left-back and a right-back playing at centre-half.
I don't know, mate. I mean, I look at some of this grief Chambers has had. It's quite strange. You know, I've seen games where sort of Holding has made mistakes, yet Chambers gets grief. Do you know what I mean? I think I think the crowd picks their favourites pretty early. And if you're not a favourite, then you're going to get hammered. And I think it would have been a big ask today for Medley, because Barnes is, he's a dirty git, isn't he? He's a right little scumbag up there. And I think that would have been a massive ask. But I do agree with you. We've got to start backing these kids. They've been Europa League games they could have played, and they haven't been allowed to. So I don't know. I'm at that point at the moment here where I'm still positive. I like Unai Emery. I think he's the right man for the job. But I think there are some issues that he's either been unsuccessful in changing or he hasn't looked at properly.
But it's far too early to be kind of hard on the guy. He's got to have, I think, at least another 3 transfer windows. And then let's judge the fella when he's developed his team. He's getting there, but he's still inherited most of what he has. I think what we added in the summer was good, but we need more.
I've got to be honest with you, mate. We need Champions League football too sweet. Okay?
Yes, absolutely.
We need it now, right? No messing about. And we've got, I hear a lot of people decry in the squad, I don't think we've got the worst squad ever. I agree with John, it's unbalanced. I do agree with that, but it's still a top quality squad, right? And Unai has to find a way of getting the best out of these players in whatever formation. Do you know what I mean? He has to find a way to get the best of these players. If you've got square pegs going round holes, and we mourned enough about this under Arsene, okay, then that's his fault. It's his fault. He has to start taking responsibility for it now.
It's not his fault. He's got so many central defenders in the treatment room.
It's not.
There's nothing he could have done about that.
No, I absolutely agree, okay? I'm not trying to be hard, but ultimately, I think he needs to work around it. He needs to find a solution. There's times where we're going to fail, and that's fine, okay? But, our defending isn't just about, our poor defending just hasn't happened because of this. If you look at the way we set up with corners and defending corners, etc., it's a bit of a joke. But we'll move on. We'll move on. Richard Garrett, come in with a donation of £5. Richard, you're absolute rock star. You're always in there supporting us, and thank you ever so much. And he just basically says, Merry Christmas, lads, which we really, really appreciate. I love this chat box. I really do. Even though I'm still drunk, okay? I just love seeing some of the comments in there. It's fantastic. These people are just... Yeah, they're so supportive, obviously, absolutely brilliant. Thank you ever, ever so much, Richard. Top man. Jay Charmings is in the box. Sorry, Jay Charmings in the box, and he's saying Ellis runs New York City. Yeah, Jay. Ellis runs out on us. That's what he does, the cheeky git. Go on, sorry, carry on, mate.
I was just going to say, I was going to thank everybody in the chat box for absolutely making it certain to me that I need a new pair of glasses. I've just spent 280 quid on tyres today. Now I need to spend another 150 quid on the bins.
Oh, Jesus. I've got to get spectacles as well. It's not fun. It's not fun. Unique 79 asked, Dave, why we constantly waste set pieces and counter attacks?
There's a question, eh?
We
have become less good in those situations than we were under Arsene Wenger. And that may have some of its standing in the fact that we haven't got all of the defenders fit, because the best players we have in the air are our central defenders, so like it or not, Aubameyang and Lacazette will get headed goals, but aren't the best headers of a ball. I think probably Nacho Monreal is one of the best. Laurent Koscielny was always good for launching himself at free kicks and things. He's not a... Sokratis seems to have a 50p piece for a head, so it comes off him at all sorts of angles when he's in position. It's something they need to work on, but I think they've identified first they need to get themselves fitter and in better condition, and we'll come on to doing stuff on set pieces, I hope, later on in the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, we lack pace on the counter-attack at times. And today we saw some great counters, which we weren't quite clinical about. But the set piece, these short corners where we waste them, drive me to distraction. I just think it's an absolute joke at times. And, you know, if we're going to take a short corner, you know, we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan. You know, so other clubs come up with really imaginative set piece drills, and yet we don't. And, you know, it's another thing Unai needs to look at. You know, he's got a big job on his hand, but when he took this job, he knew the size of the task that was ahead of him. So he has to embrace that challenge and really start coming up with some imaginative, you know, set pieces where we put the pressure on the opposition. You don't have to score every time, you know what I mean? But you have to build up that pressure on opposition so they do make mistakes, so we are able to capitalise on it. But it's not good at the moment.
You know what, Jason, the more I think about it, mate, maybe we're looking at rose-tinted glasses in most recent years, because this is not the season that we have discovered the problem that we can't beat the first man at a corner. And if you've only got to go back to Robin van Persie's days, when he was taking the corners and he was the only player in the side who could score.
Yeah.
So we were taking him out of the equation.
I
so maybe we've got no work, got better.
No, I agree with you there, mate. I think, you know, you look at it, I think Mustafi's quite good in the air, you know. But, you know, if we're taking a short corner and we're not beating the first man, I mean, when Santi Cazorla used to take corners and not beat the first man, I used to be in utter disbelief, because, you know, all that skill, all that ability, and to not beat the first man in the corner, bloody rubbish, you know. But, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's something it's not just become a problem overnight. But this is why I think Unai should have addressed it earlier. Do you know what I mean? He must have known this. So it's one of those. Mike Hernandez asks, Dave, is there something both Wenger and Unai know or see that we fans can't see with Lacazette?
You're asking the wrong man, Jace. You know that. I love the fact that we have Lacazette and Aubameyang at the same club at the same time. If you'd said that to me 2 years ago, I'd have ripped your arm off for it to happen. Yeah. And I understand maybe they haven't caught fire the way you would expect players of their reputation to catch fire, but I think it will happen. And you know, to have two finishers like that at the club, we are blessed, I think. So, sorry, I'm not dismissing the question. But
I agree. I do agree with you, Dave. I just think at the moment, I'm not sure. I think it's a tough ask for any manager when you've got players of this quality available to you, but you have an ethos which maybe doesn't match it, or you've got a you have a footballing philosophy which kind of doesn't incorporate the both of them at the same time.
Well, you know, with those two players there, the ideal setup would be a 4-4-2, but we don't have the players for a 4-4-2.
I disagree with you. I do think we have the players for a 4-4-2. I just think if you're going to play a 4-4-2, you can't play Mesut Ozil. Okay, he's redundant. Correct. Okay, you have to have a bit more go forward from midfield, which, you know, you're not going to get that with Xhaka, so you'd have to play Ramsey type, okay? And maybe a Torreira or Ramsey and Xhaka, okay? So then you haven't got room for Xhaka, for Torreira. And then you need some pace in the wings where you can play Alex and Wobi on one side, you can play Mkhitaryan on the other, but they're up and down. Do you know what I mean? And Mkhitaryan isn't really a winger, but he has the ability to play, and with his link-up play.
I'm agreeing with you. You're making my very point.
Yeah, I just think it's really, really... You know, Ramsey's going, and that's a problem for him. So he's got to stick with the ethos he's currently got. And, you know, you can't lose Mesut Ozil as well. You just can't. Last question. Unique79 asks, do you think Oxlade-Chamberlain and Sanchez would have been better players under Unai Emery?
Oxlade-Chamberlain's an interesting one, and I think it's possible, because I think one of the things that Emery has done that would have improved his performance would be the fact that he has got us wound up to a peak level of performance that he didn't seem to reach under Arsene Wenger. And that's maybe unkind, because he was also incredibly injury prone. And again, we're talking about Iwobi being a confidence player. Oxlade-Chamberlain was a confidence player. Sanchez, I thought actually we got the best of the Alexis Sanchez years, so I don't know that he would have been a different player under either manager. I think he's unique, and what he's alleged to have done at Manchester United this season, with the bets that he's denying he made on Mourinho going, I think it kind of shows you there is a real attitude issue with him. But yeah, Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think that's a fair point. I think he might have been a better player if his body had been made stronger earlier.
I got to be honest, I'd say no, I don't think either would be better players under Unai Emery. I think, you know, I agree with you, Dave, we got the best, I thought Wenger got the best of Alexis Sanchez, but still, Alexis Sanchez is all about Alexis Sanchez, and I think at the moment he's probably burned out. I think that's where he's at, you know. He's a strange character. That's who he is. Just, you know, whatever. As for Oxlade-Chamberlain, Oxlade-Chamberlain had enough opportunities under Arsene Wenger, and he's the one who didn't take him. You know, you're looking at a guy. Do you remember the Monaco game? You know, we're down. He scores a great goal, and then bang, you know, he turns his back and across and costs us a goal. Do you know what I mean? And he's no better. I know he's injured at the moment, and I hope he has a speedy recovery, because I like the Ox. I think he's a good guy. But he had enough opportunities under Arsene, and he never won the place. That's the problem. It's down to him to win the place. He's at Liverpool o'clock now, and his form is no different from what it was with us. That's who he is as a player. He's up and down. He's just one of those guys. It's a shame, but no, I just don't think that. I saw Arsene develop some fabulous players. I'm pretty sure Unai's going to develop some fabulous players, but they have to fit the system, and they have to win the place, and they have to earn the right to be in the squad and on the team. So that's the big thing, I think. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey O'Hara said, this question, have you heard about the Burnley fan who ran to the Emirates from Burnley to raise money from charity? I haven't heard about him, but whoever he is, I agree with you, Jeffrey, he is an absolute class act. That's absolutely top quality from him. You know, good, what a top man, brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it, we're done, don't we? I've had enough now.
Going straight back down the pub, I know.
No, I'm crawling under a duvet. I can't face alcohol. I'm absolutely blasted. Yeah, I'm sorry. Listeners, I am sorry. I apologize for my shameful performance, but
Yes, no, you've been fine.
I've only got 58 likes, so stuff you all. You don't deserve any more. You don't deserve anything else. Dave, my thanks to you, mate. Thank you for today, pal. Brilliant to have you back on, and you're an absolute lifesaver.
Oh, it was an absolute pleasure to do it, mate. Thank you very much. I hope we didn't make too much of a mess of it. I don't think we did.
Mate, if you listen back to some of our shows, no, we're okay. We're okay. Some of them are real car crash there. Yes, unique 79. There's going to be a strong call, you know. To everybody in the chat box, you're fantastic. Thank you for the support. To Richard Garrett, to Mike Hernandez, to Yvonne Kofler, thank you for the donations. That's absolutely magic of you guys, and we really, really appreciate it. Your support this year has been absolutely brilliant, and we just wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas, and the New Year's brilliant for you. To those listening on other formats, whether it's iTunes, whether it's Stitcher, I don't know. I'm still drunk. I can't. I think. Thank you ever so much as well. Your support is really, really valued as well. If you want to be part of the chat box and join us and have some fun with us, like the YouTube page, click on the bell icon, and then you will be notified whenever we go live. But it's the last show before Christmas, guys. So I'm wishing you all the very, very best from everybody here at ABW. We're so grateful for your support and for your contributions to the show. It's very humbling at times, so thank you very much. And that's it, Dave. I think it's time to
Well,
switch things off.
absolutely. Thank you very much from me to everyone as well. And I hope, as well as a happy Christmas, you all have a healthy one because that's the most important thing. Take care.
Take care, guys. All the best. Keep it Arsenal.